morning, Rabbi. We are on Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis. We're going to start again from the sixth line. Amar Rabbi Yehuda son. Amar Rabbi Yehuda son. Gedoyla tshuva shemikareves es hageula. Tshuva is great. It brings about. It hastens the geula. Shenema. It says in the pasuk, "Kuvale tzion goyel, a redeemer shall come to tzion." Well, the Shavei Pesha B'Yakov, and to those who are coming back, repenting from sin in Yaakov. So he expounds, Matam uval tzion goel, why will a Redeemer come to Tzion? Mishum de Shavei Pesha B'Yakov, because there are those repenting in Yaakov. So, okay, we already, in a general way, we all understand that yes, the Geula, Mashiach, is very much an issue of tshuva, right? The more Klal Yisrael draws themselves closer to Hashem, the more in position we are to get Mashiach. Maral just brings this out in a way that really makes us understand our each of our individual share here. You know what? I'll draw on a different example, which is actually very relevant. We're told that we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah twice. Why do we repeat it? Because it frightens the satan. Right? You blow the shofar the first time, it says that he's kind of like not sure what's going on. The second time he says, oh, this is the shofar of the Geula. Mashiach is coming. I'm in trouble. And therefore he just gets all discombobulated and we paralyze him by blowing the shofar. So That's the Medrash says. That Tisha cites this Medrash. And an obvious question is, the Satan, we all know from personal experience, the Satan is very smart. Right? We all know that. Right? We've dealt with him. Exactly. We've dealt with him. We know that he's a very wise, very wise. And he's been around for many years. Right? He's been hearing that shofar blow way before we were born. So what's the pshat that he gets? Ooh. That Mashiach, the shofar Mashiach, the second time he's already sure the city is paralyzed. What's the pshat?
It's not the same sultan.
What's that?
There's a new sultan every year.
Is there a new sultan every year?
Yeah. Who creates the world every year?
Yeah, but we still maintain our memories from the past.
Maybe
right?
This time this is the one.
What's that?
Maybe this time he thinks this is the one.
So Stanley is suggesting that Lamaisa, the Sultan, is living with a clearer realization that there will be a Geula than we are, and therefore, yes, every time, it's like, you know, they tell the story of Nosson Bachfogel, when he heard the in Elul, before Elul, one of the Bachrim was practicing the Shofar in the dormitory, so Nosson Bachfogel came running down the hall to see where is he, where's the Mashiach, right? Shadow, he was living on a higher level of consciousness than the rest of us. He was really living with the anticipation. So he was living the anticipation. The Sultan was living with that constant dread, right? But that's a very profound shot. That's a very profound shot. Rav Dessler says something amazing. Rav Dessler says, "What is the idea of the shofar? What is the avoid of the shofar? Right? We know that the avoid of the shofar is to epitomize our acceptance of Hashem as King." Right, it's a coronation, right? We zichroinus. We got three themes of Rosh Hashanah: are malchus, zichroinus, and shofaris. Right, malchus means coronation of Hashem, except Hashem is King. Zichroinus means that each of us, to put it in practical terms, without connecting it to the word exactly, we all present ourselves before Hashem. Zikaron means that the memory of each person is analyzed, each person's index card is brought out, presented to Hashem, and analyzed. Right? That's Zikaron. So those And the Gemara concludes and says, "Bameh b'shofar." How do we do that with the shofar? Meaning, in other words, you bring the two together. Hashem is telling us, you should know that on Rosh Hashanah, each of you are going to be presented to me. I'm going to be drawing out the index card, just the index card is you yourself, of each of you individually and analyzing it. Right? And the way that you should present yourself to me, I'm going to give you the opportunity. Every nation is also being analyzed on Rosh Hashanah, right? Or the Goyim as well. Just Hashem is tipping us off and telling us, you should know that you're going to be presented to me before me on Rosh Hashanah. So I'm tipping you off, and here's the right way to do it. Tamlichuni aleichem. Present yourself to me as in the context of crowning me as your king. You come before me and you are accepting my kingship before you, that is the best way for you to present yourself. So really, what the shofar is like the whole focus of the day is the malchus, but the shofar is that acute blast that really is meant to wake us up to the reality of Hashem Melech. And that is the moment that we present ourselves before Hashem. The shofar, by the way, I have to realize that. The shofar is the peak of Rosh Hashanah. It's the high moment of Rosh Hashanah. The din, the malchus itself, Hashem kebiyachol, that's the moment of Hashem's crowning. Whatever that means. But also the din itself, the main point, the main time of the din is at the time of blowing shofar. Because I had to realize that. You should be focused on that. During the time of Rosh Hashanah, of the Tkiya Shofar, realizing that actually your entire year is now being encapsulated at that moment. Now, obviously this has to be worked out. There are elements of din that are spread over the whole 2 days. But that's something that has to be worked out. But yes, the din is epitomized at the moment of Tkiya Shofar. So Tkiya Shofar is the most poignant moment of Rosh Hashanah. You want to be presenting yourself before Hashem at that moment of Tkiya Shofar in the best possible way. Now you're standing in shul. What else are you going to do at the moment of Tkiya Shofar? What we mean is, in your mind, you want to be at the peak of your alertness and your awareness and your absolute state of Hashem is my king and I am standing before him at his service, at his disposal. All of Rosh Hashanah is that focus. But the moment of Tkiya Shofar is the epitome. You're like as the actual crowning is taking place, right? The guards closest to the king are standing there at attention, alert, right? And they're ready to do his bidding, whatever it is. This is epitomized in the moment of Tkiya Shofar. And Tkiya Shofar has the effect of an alarm, meaning it's not just the bugle with the tune of whatever it is. But it goes along with that blast that on the one hand heralds the coronation of the king is also the sound of an alarm. Meaning that blast, that bugle blast that heralds the king is supposed to be a wake-up call to us at the same time. We want to utilize that moment to reach a certain height in our awareness and our alertness of Hashem is king. That fills every fiber of my being right now, and I am standing at his disposal, at his service, at his bidding, whatever he'll want of me.
Sounds exactly like a commander going into the bunks of the army guys, and, you know, the horn and the wake-up call, you know. They muster up to the flag, you gotta throw their clothes on. And
except that in this case, they're not sleeping, right? In this case, they're actually standing there at the ready. All this is packed into the moment of Tkiya Shofar, and also, of course, spread out over the full 2 days. Okay? Everybody's with me? So now, Rav Dessler says, so here's the point. What is the Geula about? We're talking about the ultimate revelation. We're talking about the ultimate Geula, right? The ultimate revelation. That revelation is an accumulation of the steps leading toward that revelation. It doesn't just come out of a vacuum. It doesn't just come out of a vacuum. There are different events. Hashem has a combination of different events that have to lead up to it. One of them being an accumulation of that revelation in our own minds. When that reality of Hashem Melech is clear enough across the board, when there's enough of a combination of intensity and quantity, I'm using the word intensity in this context rather than quality, but that's what we mean, right? Quality with each individual, the quality, the intensity, the clarity of Hashem Melech, combined with enough individuals, will accumulate to provide the right degree for the healing. The Satan is very smart. On the contrary, he appreciates what that moment of Kiyas Shofar is more than us. For each Jew, if I reach that absolute clarity at that moment of Kiyas Shofar, as far as the Satan is concerned, oh, that's another irretrievable step forward toward the Gula actually happening. It's starting to unfold. Right? If we think of it in terms of, sometimes give the muscle of a computer screen, right? It's full of thousands of pixels. Or Brahman could probably explain this to some. How many pixels are there on a screen? Is it thousands, hundreds? I don't know.
Million,
tens of thousands, millions?
Thousands,
I don't even know. Thousands.
Millions.
Okay,
million.
So
million.
If I'm understanding correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, each pixel is a little light. Is that
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Now, if you have a computer where they're all working 100%, so you have a beautiful picture on the screen. If you have a computer where 80% is working, you can still make out the picture, it's just not in its full glory. If 50% is working, you've got a very sketchy picture on the computer. 30%, if you've already seen this thing beforehand, you have an idea of what's going on, right? But it's extremely sketchy, right? When we're talking about Malchus Shamayim, each of us is a pixel, right? Each of us is a pixel. Maybe we're a lot of pixels. Maybe it depends on the person. But each of us is providing that light and clarity that all the revelation, the ultimate Gula is that across the board. Okay? And then it comes out into the open. But my pixel is already there. And as far as the Satan is concerned, it's happening. It is happening. The process is taking place. Okay? So, yes, this avoida of standing and allowing the shofar to arouse us to that absolute clarity of Hashem is my melech and I'm at his disposal is an element of gilui. It's an element of revelation, and that is an actual piece in the puzzle of the ultimate geula. It's on the contrary. The Satan knows what he's talking about. It's us who don't, right? He appreciates the significance of what it means that a Jew and another Jew and another Jew has now achieved that absolute clarity. That's the depth of Dessler says behind this almost childish sounding medrash. That's the depth behind it. It's very, very profound. Now applying that to our Gemara is mamish the same idea the Maharal says, but in a bit of a different sense. A person does tshuva. When a person does tshuva, what's happening in effect? As a person is doing tshuva, what that means is he is breaking out of the fetters of the Yetzer Hara. He's breaking out of the rule, out of the reign of the Yetzer Hara, and moving himself into the realm of Tzamsh, the same theme, it's just the Yom Kippur angle of what we just said. And he's moving himself into the realm of Malchus Shamayim. If up till now I was bogged down or chained by some chait, which is keeping me on the other side of the line. Now, by the way, that line is not very distinct. It could be a million degrees to crossing that line. But to whatever extent I did tshuva, I broke free of the Yetzer Hara's fetters. I moved out of his jurisdiction into the jurisdiction of Malchus Hashem. It's mamish the same idea as we discussed before, just in tshuva terms rather than Malchus terms. In Rosh Hashanah we're talking Malchus terms. In Yom Kippur we're talking tshuva terms, right? So I've moved out of the fetters of the Yetzer Hara into the jurisdiction of Malchus Shemayim once again. That is, that if we'll call it that pixel, that element of the Geula starting to unfold. When enough of that happens, you'll actually have it happen in a revealed way, that we will move out of the jurisdiction of the nations into the jurisdiction of Malchus Shamayim. But we begin that process by the underworking, is that how you say it? The workings under the surface. The fact that Klal Yisrael is subject to the other nations, etc., is really just the outer, the external manifestation of the fact that we are still subject to the reign of the Yetzer Hara. So his representatives on the more material level are the nations. The more we break free of his reign, we move into Malchus Shemayim. So we are actually pulling the key out of the jurisdiction that the nations have over us. Enough of that happens, and we'll be out of their jurisdiction entirely. So this is Mamish the same idea. The Karevus is Hagulah. It's bringing us that step forward closer to the Geula. He adds, it's very, a very interesting insight that Maharal adds. Maharal says, the Yovel year, slaves are set free, right? And the Jewish slave is set free in the Yovel year. When exactly is the slave set free?
Yom Kippur.
Oh, after Yom Kippur, right?
Yom Kippur after...
After the Tekiah, right? They give it the
Tekiah? Yes. Yom Kippur after the Yovel year.
So... The Maharal says this is exactly that same point. The material freedom of slaves is a direct effect of the spiritual freedom from the bondage under the Yetzer Hara, the servitude of the Yetzer Hara. We break out and move into the realm of Malchus Shemayim. So too, the slaves will break out of whatever human mastery there is over them, move back into the realm of only Hashem's jurisdiction. All the same point. Okay, this is timely because we're learning about tshuva now. This gives us the Rosh Hashanah perspective on it. Okay. We move on. Omar Eish Lakish. G'dayla tshuva shez daylis nasis loikish gavis. Look how great tshuva is. And consider a person's deliberate sins into shaygik. We deem it inadvertent. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem alekecha. Come back, Yisrael, to Hashem, because you have stumbled in your sin. Now, avayin mezid, the word avayin denotes a deliberate sin. The kakoi le nichshon. Yeah, we're calling it that he tripped over it. Tripping over it is an accident. So you see that, yes, you do tshuva. The sins that you did deliberately are now retroactively deemed accidents. What's the pshat in this? Here, again, we invoke the Maharal, who says that tshuva is about deepening your awareness. We already discussed that there's the very basic level of what we call technical tshuva, you regret, etc. Really, regret really should mean, and this is really what tshuva should mean on a deeper level, that you intensify your awareness of Hashem, you intensify your appreciation of Hashem, to the extent that with the knowledge, with the consciousness that I have today, I wouldn't do that sort of thing. The act that I did a month ago reflected who I was then. But it doesn't reflect who I am now. Now, I moved to a deeper level of understanding Hashem, a deeper level of living Hashem, and therefore, it doesn't reflect who I am now. It's not the type of thing that I would do now. And therefore, what is it? It's a mishap. It's part of the chesed of tshuva. Hashem kind of bunches the past and the present together, and he says, 1 minute, now you're a person who wouldn't do this sort of thing deliberately. So like this happened, it's because you weren't in your right mind at the time, right? You weren't cognizant enough. Whatever. You weren't aware enough. Okay, you weren't aware enough. Once you can prove that I can reach a higher level of awareness, then the fact that you weren't aware enough back then is considered, yeah, the person did something not being aware. It was just a shaking. Gemara says, Ini, is this so? No, Omar Eish Lakish. Or Eish Lakish said, it's more than that. Tshuva, a person does tshuva, his deliberate avarice from the past can actually turn into merits. Hashem turns them into mitzvahs. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, Ubishuv Rasha Mirish Asai, when a Rasha comes back, repents from his rishis, his wickedness, Vasa Mishva to Tzedakah, and he now starts doing the right and just thing. Alehem Yichya, he'll live on that. We're expanding the pasuk to mean He'll live on it all. Meaning not only is the righteousness now a source of life for him, but even the previous riches will now be a source of life for him. So you see that somehow or the other, Tshuva doesn't just turn your Averis into Shoyge, it actually turns them into Mitzvahs, to Zchusim. How does that work? So the Gemara says, Loi Kash. It's not a contradiction. Kame Avo Kame. It depends. If it's Tshuva coming from love, yes. It actually turns your past Averis into Mitzvahs, an amazing thing. Kame Yiro. If it's just coming from Yira, meaning I'm scared and I want to get myself back to a safe place, then, okay, it's enough if we deem them Shoyge. But if a person is doing Tshuva Me'ava because of love for Hashem, he's trying to draw closer and make up for the past, then we say that actually the Averis turn into Mitzvahs. So the logic behind this, we've already mentioned a few times, and it's really, well, simple mathematically. At this point, you've reached a place of growth. What was the cause of that growth? The Averis, now that you've done your tshuva, now that they actually spurred you to grow and to grow closer to Hashem, the Averis now, Hashem, in His chesed, will view them as the causes for your growth. And steps that you take toward growth, right? If you enroll in a seminar on inspiring shiurim, right? And you're going to grow because of that. You get a mitzvah not only for the growth, but for enrolling, right? So these Averis enrolled you in this growth program. And therefore, you actually get credit for them. You can take the Averis of your past. You can take the Averis of your past and you say, what was, was. Now, let me use that as a catalyst for growth. You'll actually be credited with those Averis. It's an amazing thing. What's that?
Aleihem... the pshat is refers back to Mishpat and Tzedakah.
That's right. That's the pshat. It's a drasha. That's
right. This is a okay.
It's a drasha. That's again in Bok Tamaral. He features very prominently in these sugyas. Who goes a bit deeper with it? He says something. He says like this. Well, I'm taking it in my words, obviously, but. You were born with a certain personality. There are the better parts of your personality, and there are the worst parts of your personality. You have faults? I have faults. How about you? I have faults. I assume you do, because otherwise there'd be no point in being in this world. You have faults. Like, you're born with faults. You're born with character faults, etc. So now, are those faults problems? Are they... Is it something bad? Meaning you should be ashamed of yourself that you have those faults? Well, if you just decide that you're going to be complacent for them and say, alright, that's who I am, and I'll sail on, then yes, definitely. But otherwise, absolutely not. Those faults were given to give your life purpose. Those faults were given to give your life purpose. Right? And therefore, a person is, let's say, born. He has a problem with taiva for lobster. Okay? What was it? Lobster. That's a taiva for lobster. And so, should he be beating himself up and saying, shame on you, what a bad guy you are. You're attracted to lobster. Each time he eats lobster, yes. But the very fact that he has this, the very fact that he has this taiva, does that make him a low down person? No. It simply provides him with room for work, right? So I gave the example of an attraction to lobster. But we understand, we can apply it to each of us with our individual difficulties. The Nisham was a perfect being. Each of us essentially is a perfect being. So what did Hashem do when He put us into this world? He tacked on some faults. I'm giving an example. We all have our different things. I have my thing, you have your thing. Somebody, I gave that as an extreme example. Nobody here has a taiva for lobsters. But we have taivas for other things, right? So... So if so, once again, on the contrary, our chesroinus, our tithes, our difficult midas is really what gives us room to grow. Hashem put those chesroinus on us because that's what we're here for. To improve ourselves. Right? So at the end of the day, let's say you have one fellow who getting up the chakras is a cinch for him. Then you have the other fellow and it's a big struggle for him. Okay? And if at the end of the day they are both arriving to chakras every day, making it every day, coming early at the same time, who has more credit? The guy who has a struggle for it, right? The guy who struggled for it. So if so, what's coming out? Obviously, you see very clearly your chesroinus, your faults, are chusin. They're what provide you with your merits, right? So the very concept that faults are actually generating, it's a source of profit, it's not a chiddush. That's simple. That's obvious. Just the chiddush here, this is the amazing point. The chiddush here is that, before you get to the chiddush. The whole concept of life in Olam Hazeh is that Hashem took you, Anisham. Anisham is a perfect being. What did he do? He plunged you into the deep water, into the deep mud. Okay, food sense, with all kinds of foul stuff, and he said, now push your way back toward me. As soon as you're born, it's like that. Before you did any aveiros, right? You have to overcome all the physical. Hashem stuck you into a physical body, which bogs you down and is pulling you in all directions, confusing you. And Hashem says, hey, come, that's a challenge. I plunge you. This is perfect neshama. Now push your way back toward me. That is the essence of our existence in this world, right? Which really means, that really is what tshuva is. Tshuva means pushing your way back toward Hashem. Okay? Now, usually we talk about tshuva in terms of, if you did an aveira, you distance yourself from Hashem, you have to push your way back. But essentially, tshuva is really just, if you do an aveira, really, it's just taking the whole spectrum of life in this world, and you push yourselves a few more degrees back. Right? But in any case, the whole concept of life in this world is really the idea of tshuva. Your distance from Hashem, push back toward Him. Right? So therefore, yes, absolutely, any of the difficulties that we have in life, any of the chesroinus or the faults that we have, are the means of our greatness. Here the Gemara is adding a chiddush. You know what? We might say, okay, that's fine, you have inborn difficulties. That's fine. That I can hear. Those are the things that Hashem stuck on you. Those are merits stuck if you overcome. What happens if you mess yourself up? You messed yourself up, now you have to do tshuva. We're also going to say that that's called greatness? We're also going to say that that's called greatness? That's not. Deal with the faults that Hashem gave you. And don't worry, we all have a generous tekelah, right? Deal with the faults that Hashem gave you. You go and mess yourself up. Don't come and say I get credit for that too. You messed yourself up. Here's the chiddush of the Gemara. No, that's not how Hashem views it. If you messed yourself up, and then you said, oh, I want to get back to where I was. Meaning, yes, Hashem's distance, he plunged you into this world, you're 50 degrees away from him. You messed up, and now you found yourself 65 degrees away from him. So Hashem says, right, get back to 50, and then I'll turn on the meter, your kus meter. No. If you push from the 65 back to the 50, Hashem says, it's all part of the same system. You are creaking out, how do you say, something up merits.
Cranking up
merits.
Increasing?
Yeah, that would be the possible way of saying it. So, yeah, that's the idea. I was just, it was a more slangy way of saying it that I was slipping my mind. So,
cranking up.
So, this is the idea. It's an amazing point. I was a bacher, teenager. I was probably about 17, 18. Oh, got himself into a lot of trouble over the years. He was got himself involved in all the right things. He hit a pretty low place. And I guess he hit the point where you know, he tried it all, did it all, and okay, now he wants to get back on track. So he was talking to me about he wants to be a yeshiva bacher, you know, a ben Torah on the track of Aliyah. Just, it's practically impossible, like, with everything now that's, you know, going on in his life, etc., it's just not going to happen. So, what, did I mess myself up? The answer lies in this Gemara. You decided that now you want to get onto a track of Aliyah. As far as you're concerned, you're born today in the situation that you're in. You messed yourself up, but let's forget about that now. You messed yourself up. Yes, you messed yourself up. Now, before you can talk about learning with great Hasmada, first you have to deal with addictions, and you have to undo relationships, and all kinds of other great things. Right? So, you ready to do tshuva? You were born into that situation today. And now, every step you do in that situation, you're not a ben Torah. It's going to be a while before you'll be able to be a ben Torah. You have to work all kinds of things out of your system before you can do that, right? You're going to have to crack this and break that and drop this, and these are going to take a lot of work, right? Breaking out of this and breaking out of that and rising above this. But, you know what? That's all that's expected of you right now. Yes, you might have been a ben Torah 4 years ago, and you're saying, I know what it really is. That's where I should be today. No, that's not what's expected of you now. As soon as you're ready to start on your tshuva campaign, your avodas Hashem is a little bit less of this shtus and a little bit less of that shtus. Whatever the realistic program would be of digging your way out of the mud, that is your aliyah. That's your aliyah. And that's your greatness. If you're going to spend the rest of your life working your way back to square one. Okay? What? Why does the Yid have any time to ever do anything wrong? So, this is the point. If a person will spend the rest of his life just getting back to square one, but he's going about it with full intention, and he's going about it sincerely and with everything he has, that will be considered a life of Aliyah. And this is the point that the Gemara is making here. Yes, you messed yourself up. And yes, had you started at square one, you would have been much higher today. And then yes, we would say that all your faults are really just given to you by Hashem in order to rise above. But you know what? Yes, you messed yourself up, you backtracked, that also we're going to relate to at the same time. Work yourself out of the hole, you'll be credited with that. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmini, Amar Rabbi Enosim. Gedolah tshuva shemareches shnoisav shalada. Tshuva gives a person longer life. Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, Obushim Rasha mirish asai chayo yichya. When a Rasha repents from his riches, he'll live off that. Reconnecting with Hashem, Makara, the source of life. Amar Rav Yitzchok, Amri b'ma'arava mishmei d'Rabba Barmeri. The saying is, the Yisrael, in the name of Rabba Barmeri, V'ay ur'ei sh'loi k'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas b'zibetah. Look how different Hashem's attributes are than the attributes of a mortal being. Midas b'zibetah, with a human being, if you offended somebody, you said something offensive to them, then you try to make amends. He might be ready to make up with you, he might not. And even if he does, an apology might not do it. I have to do more than that. I have to take him out to eat. I have to send him a gift. I might not, words alone, talking to him, trying to work it through, might not do it. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But with Hashem, it's not like that. Adam Oiver Avera, a person does an Avera B'Seisar, in private, Hashem, you can appease Hashem just by talking to him, apologizing sincerely, working it through with him. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk, "Kuchu imalchem voim v'shuvu al Hashem." Take words with you and come back to Hashem. The Gemara stresses that it's v'seifer. If you do an aver v'seifer in private, Hashem is ready and willing to accept your apology, to accept your reconciliation. Why in private? So what hit me first was seems to be precluding Chilul Hashem, which is a bigger deal than in public. The Maharsha says something a little differently. The Maharsha says once you did it publicly, it might not just be between you and Hashem anymore. Now it's already within the jurisdiction of things. And if there were witnesses who saw what you did, you might get Malkus, you might get this, you might get that. It already is not just that, you know, you come to Beis and you tell Beis and, hey, Rabbi, I did tshuva, let me out of here. Did tshuva, that's very nice. Now bring on the belt, right? So, but to say so, but on the contrary, actually, Marshall's point is amazing, because when you think about it, yes, this is the point that Rabbi Jonathan, you asked this the other week. Now, you still don't have an answer. But this still bring this underscores your question, but brings out the acuteness of the concept. Had this person been witnessed by witnesses, I'd have been put to death. I'd have been given malchus. Okay? Now that he wasn't, discuss it with Hashem, you'll be okay.
But you have to that includes changing one's actions.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, that's part of the
change. Absolutely. Because otherwise, there's nothing sincere, right? There's nothing sincere. That's kind of what we call tevel v'sheres v'yodeh. The person goes to the mikvah holding on to the sheres, right? So, but here, so we're bringing out two points in this Gemara. We're bringing out two very important points. First of all, it's something to emulate, right? We're saying sometimes our ego gets in the way. Somebody hurt us. We have a hard time letting go of it. But if you really tell yourself very acutely, you know what? That more reflects me than him. Because Hashem is capable of taking any offense and saying, you're ready for a sincere apology, you really want to get things back on track, I'm right here ready to do it with you. Once we understand that, then any time I say, I'm sorry, you know, you offended me, I'm not willing to talk about it, turn around to yourself in the mirror and say, then the problem is you. The problem is me. The problem is not him. The problem is me. Because for Hashem, there's no such thing as an offense that's too great to talk about. If for me there is such a thing that's as an offense that's too great to talk about, then it's really just bringing out how small I am relative to Hashem. The bigger you are, right, the more capable you are of saying, if you want to make amends, I'm here ready to do it. That's point number one. Point number two is understanding the role of talking, right? The Gemara is emphasizing here, devarim, talking to Hashem. Understanding the role of talking in tshuva. Ben Yehuda makes a big deal out of this. When you want to do tshuva, when you have those regrets, when you're trying to get onto a better track, involve Hashem in the process. Don't think that it's just like, you know, I got to make my efforts. Involve Hashem in the process. Talk it through with Hashem. Tell Hashem your regrets. Tell Hashem about your efforts. Ask Hashem to help you with your efforts. Ben Yehuda says, talking. Greatly enhances and oils the tshuva process. All the time. So not Rosh Hashanah, right? Not Rosh Hashanah. There's 352 other days of the year. But it's like shogeg. That's what the Gemara says. It's like shogeg. It doesn't get punished. It's like shogeg. Yes. So that's an important thing to bear in mind, especially these days. These days, for Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, etc., the talking element. Take time to talk to Hashem. You don't have to take time walking in the street, whatever it is. Just bring that, move that into your agenda. It's not very hard. It feels funny a little bit at first. But talk to Hashem. Talk to Hashem in your own words. Make that a process of the whole assessment. Not just efforts in the practical realm. You're working on yourself, etc., etc., which is very great. But move into that process, talking, verbalizing it, making Hashem a live part of that process. That very much enhances the tshuva process. Okay.
That's why it was instituted at least 3 times a day.
What's that?
That's why 3 times a day? At least start.
That's right. Now, v'loy oy. Now, not only will Hashem, is Hashem ready to accept appeasement, el Hashem machzik le'tayva. Hashem says, you came to make amends with me. I owe you one. Kiviyach. It's not just that Hashem is ready to accept your apology. Now he gives you credit for it. I owe you one. Okay? Shenemaz, it says in the Pasuk, V'kach toy, take the credit that Hashem is willing to give you for... Sorry, this is already what you say to Hashem. Imru elav, kol tisal avoy v'kach toy. Take this good, so to speak, as though you're doing a favor to Hashem. Of course, it's a presumptuous thought, but that's the way Hashem relates to it. You apologize to me for what you did wrong, I owe you one. V'loy oyd, and not only that, Hashem considers it a karma for a person to subject himself, to submit himself to Hashem, humble himself, verbalize the wrong that he did. It's like offering himself up before Hashem. Hashem says, I consider that a karma. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, through our lips, it's like we are offering both. And look even further how Hashem relates to it. And it's not like, you might think, all right, you're offering karkosis, right? Karkosis, obligatory karbonis. You have to do this to you. No, that's how Hashem relates to it. You came and you offered him yourself in that sense. He relates to it as though you bought a voluntary karbon to him. You know, you're certainly obligated to do tshuva. And if you don't, you're obviously in hot water. But once you come and you do that tshuva sincerely, wholeheartedly, Hashem views it as though it was a completely voluntary act of yours. It's something you volunteered to him, of your own goodwill. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Tavadloima, it says, Erpa Mishuvasam, Oyhavim Nidol. I will heal your waywardness, and then I will love you with Nidama. Simply understood, this means that it's Hashem's Nidama. It's like a generous love on Hashem's part. But we're expounding it to say, I will love you as though you were generous with me. Look, ladies, we had what the Sfarim relates to is the humility of Hashem. How much he's putting himself out there and extending himself to the offer to do everything he could to make you do tshuva and not mess yourself up. He wants you back. He wants that closeness with you. And he's willing, mamish, to kiviyochol, lower himself all the way. We were talking about a person who would say, make himself a doormat. Can't use these words. It's almost like what the Gemara is saying here. Right? Hashem is thanking you for apologizing. And so look what a great thing you did. Tanya. Rabbi Meir would say, G'dayla tshuva. Look how great tshuva is. Mishvil yachi chasa tshuva. If one individual does tshuva, moichlein l'koy l'olam kulay. The whole world can earn forgiveness. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Erpa Mishuvasam, I've healed their waywardness. I have nidava, I love them generously. Kishava pimi menu, because my wrath has been removed from him. I'm going to heal them and love them because my wrath is removed from him. Nehem Loinema doesn't say because my wrath was removed from them. They didn't all do tshuva. He did tshuva, but yet, I'm not going to heal all of them. Why? Mimenu. One person did tshuva, everybody earns the forgiveness. What's the pshat of this? This has to be understood. What's the pshat of this? There's two perspectives given on this. The Marshal says as follows. What are we saying here? The Gemara is saying, if you do tshuva, everybody else is forgiven. What's that supposed to mean? So the Marshal says, he says, this is really the perspective that the Rambam gives. The Rambam says, we know that each individual is judged as a skip, right? Whichever way the, whatever outweighs what. I said, that's true on the individual level, it's also true on the national level. We have a country, we weigh the merits against the Averis, Whatever is greater wins, whatever tips the scale. Yachid is judged with the Maznaim that we see. That's what we're talking about. Let's see. It's the same on the national level. It's also the same on the universal level. The whole world is judged. We weigh merits against the liabilities, and that's how the world is. The game plan for the year is laid out based on that. So the Rambam says, play safe. Always view yourself as though you are exactly half-half. And therefore you need that one mitzvah to put the scales in your favor. And then the Rambam goes ahead and says, well, consider even more than that. Perhaps in your whole country is exactly half-half. Or perhaps even minus one. And it's all now boiling down to you. You could be the one who tips the scales in favor for the whole country. And you're going to be the one who's going to make the difference whether the country is going to come out okay or not. And then the Rambam says, go that one step further. Now think of it at the universal level. We don't know the Cheshmer. Maybe at the end of the day it's boiling down to mamish equal. And I could be the one who's going to tip the scale this way or that way. You tip the scale in favor, you'll be credited for the fact that the whole world, it's like you did chesed with the whole world. You tip the scale in the wrong direction, chas v'shalom, you'll be credited with that too. Marshal says that's respected to think this Gemara. Consider that it's possible that through your tshuva, you will be earning forgiveness for the entire world, because the world is in a very close balance. Always think of it in those terms. And it could be that it's going to be your tshuva, your actions now, that are really going to make the difference in the whole world. So we're not saying it always it's like that. You're the tshuva, everybody gets forgiven. But there will be those situations. Bear that in mind. Keep that in mind. That's the Marshal's take here. Mr. Melios says something a little differently, which is quite enlightening. It gives an enlightening perspective on a lot of different things. The Mitzvah Melio says like this. He says it's a thought that has to be understood, has to be worked out. But he says, we said this concept here in the shiur a couple of times. I'll give the example of communist Russia. Is communist Russia a blessing to the Jewish people? Communist Russia. Is that a good thing for the Jewish people? It was pretty bad, right? Those were for the blackest times of the Jewish people. What happened? Right? Communists came to power and Jews started falling like flies. They succumbed to it. There were those who went for it in the first place, right? Were enthusiastic proponents. There were those who had it forced on them. But at the end of the day, Rachmana Litzlan, Russian Jewry, collapsed under the weight of communist Russia. Very black period in Jewish history. However, communist Russia brought to the fore very, very great heroism. We know that there were those who resisted, right? We know that there were whole underground networks, right? We know about Lubavitch operating in Russia, right? And we know about the yeshivas operating in Russia. And on the contrary, communist Russia brought greatness out that would not have been brought to the fore otherwise. Okay? So at the end of the day, we have a very interesting question. Was communist Russia, at the end of the day, it might end up that in Cheshvan Shamayim, the period of communist Russia was worth it. Because it produced greatness and quality that is a very, very paramount value. So if so, it's a scary thing. I don't know how to process this. This person, through holding strong, through not succumbing to the environment, through overcoming the environment, is actually giving merit to the whole environment, to all of his surroundings. They were the means of producing that greatness. The same goes for materialistic America, right? Which in its way, or the Western world in general, which in its way is causing a lot of people to fall, etc., etc., right? But on the other hand, it's bringing out a phenomenon of tshuva, of Bali tshuva, which is something unprecedented. But on the one hand, we say, you know, the whole assimilationist trend, etc., tragic consequences. On the other hand, we don't know. At the end of the day, when it's all going to be measured out, if the phenomenon of people who turned against the current and grew and shone through it, maybe that actually justifies, so to speak, justifies that whole downward trend. Right? At the end of the day, produced a greater level of intent of Avodas Hashem. So this is that element that Yosef says the Gemara is bringing out here. Sometimes a person does tshuva, meaning he was part of a lousy environment. He was sucked along with the current. But then he turned and worked against it. Now the whole environment now has merit. They were all part contributing, not in a very admirable way, but they were all contributing to this revelation of Kvod Shamayim. And therefore, there's actually a certain element of credit to them. Okay, up here. Oh,
Og.
What's that?
Og.
Og.
He had scarf. But being Russian.
Oh. Yeah, it's an ironic concept.
When's the next show?